Because we are in the Portuguese Parliament, necessarily speak in our natural language, but we have the translation, so you can follow as we speak. Yeah. So we like to thank you and welcome to the Portuguese Parliament. And if you don't mind, I will continue speaking in Portuguese. Bom, agora mais formalmente, seja bem-vindo ao Parlamento Português e temos muito gosto de o receber com esta temática, porque, como sabe, é um dossiê que está a ser acompanhado em algumas comissões deste Parlamento, seja na Comissão de Assuntos Europeus, seja também na Comissão de Economia e Obras Públicas. E, portanto, é uma matéria que não só já foi objeto de um conjunto alargado de reuniões, já houve também algumas audições sobre estas matérias, e nomeadamente até a requerimento do Partido Social Democrata, já foi feito um conjunto alargado de audições para podermos perceber toda a envolvente desta questão. E, portanto, pensamos nós, acrescenta mais informação, acrescenta mais alguma percepção de tudo aquilo que envolve este processo e um conjunto de propostas europeias que estão a ser desenvolvidas, pelo que é com muito gosto que o recebemos e ficamos à sua disposição para ouvir aquilo que entenda possa ser útil para o nosso trabalho, para a nossa avaliação e para a nossa ação do futuro.
So first of all, I would like to thank you for this opportunity. And my name is Piero Crivellaro, and I'm responsible for public affairs for Southern European country. So basically, I'm dealing with all the institutions in Southern Europe, means Portugal, Spain, Italy, Greece, and other small former Yugoslavia countries. And today I'm here, and I request this this hearing to explain which is the position of MasterCard of the new legislation on interchange fee. I don't know if you are aware or how much you are aware about the content of the legislation. I would like to give you a brief recap, so I think that is good for everybody to be aligned on what are the content of this legislation and how this legislation we believe that can negatively affect consumers and small merchants in particular. And the only winner of this legislation at the moment, at least from what we have seen from the content of the legislation, and the big merchants. So the legislation is focusing mainly on what is called interchange fee. The interchange fee is a transfer from one bank to the other bank, from the what is called the acquiring bank to issuing bank, when there is a card transactions. MasterCard and Visa work on a business model called four-party model, and basically there is the consumer, the merchants, and then up to those, the bank of the consumer and the bank of the merchant. So the bank of the consumer is called issuer, and the bank of the merchant is called acquirer. The interchange fee is a transfer from the bank of acquirer to the bank of issuer to compensate the cost of the transactions. The intention of the Commission is to reduce the interchange fee, so the transfer from the bank, the acquiring bank to the issuing bank. That because they said that this fee at the moment at European level is in each member state is different, first of all, and because for their reason is too high compared to the need that there is in the market. So the first objective of the Commission with this regulation is to try to harmonize the market, which is in our opinion there is no need. this interchange fee at the European level. And the objective of the Commission with this DIM proposal is a strong harmonization, because they propose to set this interchange fee at 20 and 30 basis points. What does it mean, 20 and 30 basis points? 20 basis points or 0.20% for debit card, in your case for multibanco transaction for debit card, and 30 basis points for credit card transactions. And you should consider that the interchange fee is different in each country, not because they are each country, basically they are happy to have different interchange fee, but because the structure of the payment market is different in each country. And the level in of the interchange fee is appropriate in relation to the size of the market. If you oblige somebody to reduce the interchange fee without any concrete explanation, you can heavily impact the market, the payment industry. And I would like to give you some example about that. For instance, in Spain, a country very close to yours, in 2005-2010, obliged banks and big merchants to find an agreement to reduce the interchange fee. There is an agreement that has taken 5 years, 2005-2010. There has been a reduction of more than 50% of the interchange fee. And then the results, we have studied the impact of this reduction, and then the results is basically that consumers have seen the cost of their cards increase because of less revenue for the issuing bank. And this loss, or the payment that that consumer made for their card, basically has been pocketed by the big merchant. The big merchant lobbying very heavily the government at that time to have this reduction, because they wanted a reduction of cost in terms of when they do electronic transaction. Basically, explaining the government that this reduction will be passed in terms of reduction of prices to the consumers. But this will not, it didn't happen, because the merchant basically pocketed all the savings from this reduction and didn't pass any saving to in terms of price to consumers. And we believe that the effect of this legislation that the European Commission is going to propose will have the same effect. So at the end of the day, because we have seen this in Spain, because we have seen this in other countries like Australia or like US, at the end of the day, we believe that who is gonna pay this reduction in the market are the consumers. Because if is like, if you oblige somebody to pay less a service, it means that somebody has to pay the service. So, and usually in this business model, if there is a reduction of interchange fee, who is gonna pay are the consumers. And then if you think further about that, if you are the consumer, you have your card in the pocket, if tomorrow they will tell you, the bank will tell you, the cost of your card, the annual fee of your card will move from 10 euros per year to 20 or 30 euros per year, maybe you suddenly think, okay, why I should have two or three cards? Maybe it's better to have just two cards, or maybe it's better to have just one card, or maybe for the poorest people it's better to not have cards. So it means that if this will happen, then this legislation will increase the cash economy, which is something that you know, but I know because I'm coming from Italy. The cash economy is the base for the black economy, is the basis for the corruption, is the basis for the anti-money laundering. So this is, we see this as a first, I would say, impact that might have this legislation, that could have this legislation. The other important point, especially in Southern European country, the economy is made by small and medium-sized enterprises, and small and medium merchants. This reduction will positively impact only big merchants, because they have the power to negotiate this reduction with banks. While small merchants will not see any advantages. And then furthermore, you know that usually a small merchant could be considered like a consumer because he manages the business with one or two credit cards or one or two debit cards. So if the merchant see that the cost of cards can increase, maybe tomorrow we'll think why I have to use my card. It's better to not use my card. So again, the big, just what I said at the beginning, we believe that the main loser from this legislation will be consumers and small merchant, and the big winner, the big merchant. Regarding the interchange fee, we believe that also the commission has proposed or imposed, I would say, the 20 and 30 basis points for debit and credit card. As you know, when there is a proposal like that, this proposal must be justified by an impact assessment. So in the first part of any EU legislation, there must be an impact assessment that describes why the Commission is proposing 20 or 30 basis points. If you have the chance to read the proposal, there are no economic explanations on why they land at 20 and 30 basis points. There is no economic evidence, first of all. Second, they believe, and this is what the Commission has said in the proposal, they believe that any reduction will be passed from merchant to consumers. And they provide several figures, millions of euros, billions of euros. And they think that this will happen for granted, so that the big merchant or merchant will pass the reduction of cost for any transaction to consumers without explaining why, without explaining the methodology of how this reduction will be passed to the consumers, and basically without explaining how they figure out these 8 billion euros, 10 billion euros of money that will be passed from merchant to consumers. So in our opinion, the impact assessment is really weak. The impact assessment doesn't say anything about the 20-30 basis points, so where they come from, this 20-30 basis point. And third, which in our opinion is the most important thing, is that imposing a cap at European level is not the right way to improve the payment industry, because every country has his own payment industry, his own development, and needs a different interchange fee, because the interchange fee is like a thermometer. So in some country you have a higher interchange fee, in other country you have a lower interchange fee in relation to the needs of the market. Having, or in this case, imposing a cap, you means that the Portuguese market is equal to the Lithuania, to the Latvia, to the Hungary, to the Italian. And in our opinion, it doesn't make any sense. It's not this way of harmonizing that we should harmonize the payment industry. So this is the first comment that I have on the interchange fee and what we basically don't like and what we believe that the effect will be when the legislation, or if the legislation will approve like it is now. I don't know if you have any questions about that, or I can move to the second point.
Sorry, I have an appointment. If you have any information, I have another appointment, okay. I have to leave. If you have any other information that you want to supply here, please, because I will have to leave in 5 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So another measure that we don't like that is within this proposal is what is in English is called co-badging. Co-badging means that tomorrow, from this legislation, the issuer are able to put in the card any brand that they want. So it means that in your card you can find MasterCard brand, Visa brand, Multibanco brand, American Express brand, or even a foreign brand. Because the legislation says that is the issuer that has the option to decide how many brands. First of all, we don't see the need of this measure. The second point, I think that having this measure with multiple brand in one card can only create confusion on the consumer. Because if you have problem with your card and you have 10 brands in your card, maybe you have problem. And the first things is, who should I call you if I have losing the PIN? Mastercard, Visa, my bank, Multibanco, and so on. And the second point, all these brands are, they manage the security tools or the security software or the anti-fraud software in a different way. So multiple PINs, multiple passwords, and so on. And the third point is that in this way, we any payment industry shouldn't have the capability to manage their brand. So it means that any bank can decide to do what they want with Mastercard brand or with Visa brand or with American Express. So even this measure is not justified in the impact assessment, and we believe that can create or can cause only confusion in the mind of the consumers. The third point, so I can just close the main remarks that I have, is the other request that are coming from this legislation. Is there is a request of separation of brand and processing. So basically what the Commission is asking to Mastercard and especially to Visa in this case, but also other payments company, to separate the part that is brand management, so purely brand management, to the processing management. And even in this case, we don't understand this request, because I understand that the Commission wants to create more competition within the market between the brand and the processing side, but we don't understand the need of having this, since we as Mastercard, but also Visa, we process just, I don't know, less than 30% of the overall Mastercard transactions. So, and especially in this measure, while in the impact assessment there is some justification, even though we don't like the way are written, but there are some justification in the impact assessment. In relation to this article or this measure, there are no explanation on why they are putting this measure in the proposal. So the impact assessment, in generally, we believe that is very, very weak in relation to the proposal that the Commission made. So this is our more or less the 3 point. And again, before you leave, please, when you write the memorandum or write your opinion for the European Parliament, always, I think that is important that you raise the point that this legislation should better assess the impact that this legislation might have on consumers. This is, I think, that the most important thing, and this is, I believe, that is something that is really missed from the impact assessment.
Muito boa tarde, queria cumprimentá-lo. Represento o Partido Popular Português. Eu gostaria de, nesta audição, colocar algumas questões para que me pudesse esclarecer. Referiu aqui que não sente que esta medida, não haja uma necessidade de harmonização. Nós temos aqui há mais do que três entidades, mas aquelas que são mais conhecidas no processamento de transações, que é a Mastercard, a Visa e a American Express. Que são essas entidades que os cobram ao cliente, quando tem uma máquina para pagamento, o POS, margens de comissão sob a utilização dos cartões, sejam de crédito, variará entre os 3% a 5%, não é? Mais ou menos, e nos cartões de débito entre 1% a 2%. O que estamos aqui a falar é precisamente de reduzir, ou seja, harmonizar no espaço europeu estas margens pela utilização nos sistemas de pagamento. E aquilo que também julgo de perceber da sua intervenção, embora tivesse chegado um bocadinho mais tarde, é que reduzindo essas margens, na utilização do cartão de crédito e de débito, que essa redução será refletida no consumidor, quer seja por taxas de utilização, não é? Ou pelas anuidades do cartão, não é? Essa transferência. O que me preocupa aqui é o seguinte, nós trabalhamos no espaço europeu e em diversas matérias, nomeadamente há algumas que também a Comissão está a trabalhar na União Bancária, na supervisão, na fragmentação. Esta matéria também acaba por ser importante porque pode haver falta de competitividade de alguns Estados face a outros, porque em alguns Estados há uma comissão superior pela utilização, quer nas transações, quer pela utilização dos cartões, superiores a outros. E cria aqui alguma disfuncionalidade entre os Estados-membros quando fazem estas operações. Não percebi muito bem de que forma que esta harmonização não possa criar maior regularidade e até justiça na utilização dos cartões no espaço europeu. Depois, não percebo em que justa medida refere que, reduzindo esta margem, possa levar a que os clientes utilizem menos cartões. Não percebi bem, gostaria que me explicasse isso, porque está-me a dizer que no processamento das transações vão reduzir as margens na utilização do cartão de débito e crédito, vão fazer refletir isso nas anuidades dos cartões ou na taxa de utilização ou não utilização dos cartões, levando a que as pessoas tenham que reduzir na sua carteira, na sua porta documentos, ter eventualmente um ou dois. Eu gostava de perceber de que forma é que isso concretizasse melhor esse risco evidente para o consumidor, para percebermos em justa medida se esta harmonização, que à partida parece muito positiva, porque cria uma harmonização e esmaga as margens que considero disfuncionais no espaço europeu e até elevadas, isso possa depois ser transferido para o consumidor final.
Se me permite também, pedia-te só para desligar. Se me permite também complementar com um conjunto de questões, porque, como disse, nós tivemos a oportunidade de fazer algumas audições sobre estas matérias, até a requerimento do Partido Social Democrata, de forma a que possamos perceber, e no caso dá-se a feliz coincidência de eu ser um dos relatores em relação a uma destas iniciativas, que irá ser discutida não na Comissão de Assuntos Europeus, mas sim na Comissão de Economia e Obras Públicas, e, portanto, será útil ouvir da parte, no caso da Mastercard, aquilo que entende que possa ser de relevante em relação a estas matérias e às eventuais disfuncionalidades desta iniciativa ou alguns problemas de impactos desta mesma opção. E de forma clara, nós, ao longo destas audições, tivemos ocasião de desenvolver, onde ouvimos os bancos, ouvimos do lado dos acquirers a forma como se organizava e como poderia ser expectável e explicado a formação de preços e a explicação do porquê das taxas em Portugal diferenciarem-se de Espanha, como na maior parte dos casos em relação ao resto da Europa, o porquê se teria a ver com uma opção pelo facto, em alguns casos, ser evidente uma relação de proximidade que nós na altura apelidámos uma relação de espelhos entre aquilo que são os bancos emissores, daquilo que são os acquirers, quando nós temos a consciência que nos acquirers, na sua estrutura acionista, muitas vezes estão os bancos. E que, portanto, para nós é muito importante que seja claro que a informação sobre a formação de preços seja escorreita para que, do ponto de vista da informação completa ao consumidor e aos comerciantes, possa ser claro também o porquê do preço e da taxa em Portugal ser diferenciada por comparação com outros países. E eu confesso que não resultou claro que essa formação de preços fosse evidente e ficasse justificada esse mesmo diferencial, e se calhar por isso é que este tipo de iniciativas, pelo menos para quem não tenha um conhecimento tão profundo e que perceba o porquê do alcance dessas mesmas opções comerciais, o porquê de haver estas diferenças tão significativas. E pensamos nós que do lado dos bancos emissores, do lado dos acquirers, e havendo esta relação de proximidade, teriam muito a ganhar, e se calhar a montante teriam tido a ganhar, se esta informação sobre a formação de preços fosse completa. Porque nós percebemos que, por exemplo, se calhar em Portugal os serviços que são colocados à disposição do consumidor, seja do lado dos comerciantes, seja do lado do consumidor final, não é exatamente igual àquele que estão disponibilizados, se calhar, noutros países europeus. Mas isso, naturalmente, no momento em que é cobrada a taxa, não é evidente para o consumidor que assim é, bem como não existe a noção clara da necessidade de cumprir estas taxas do ponto de vista da relação custo-benefício. E se essa relação for mais clara, se calhar este tipo de iniciativas, que por princípio e em teoria fazem sentido, ou seja, a harmonização num espaço europeu daquilo que é o funcionamento do mercado, pode e deve ser bem explicado, bem como pode e deve ser explicado o porquê de haver impactos nesta medida, porque sei que usaram junto da Comissão Europeia e de outras instâncias a quando de algumas das vossas intervenções a questão dos impactos no consumidor final, aquilo que foi também usado como foi o exemplo espanhol que se repercutiu no consumidor final do ponto de vista dos serviços, o impacto do controle das taxas. Agora, para nós era importante perceber então realmente o porquê deste tipo de efeitos, o que é que ajuda a explicar toda esta estrutura, por um lado de custos e por outro de opções comerciais para este diferencial de taxas, país a país, e sobretudo algo que nós referenciámos muitas vezes ao longo das audições que tivemos ocasião de ter nesta Assembleia, que é necessariamente aquilo que é para nós muito, muito relevante, que é nestas estruturas de custos e neste estabelecer das interchange fees, ao fim e ao cabo, o que é que resulta da relação entre os acquirers e os bancos emissores, bem como nesta relação que para nós é importante que seja transparente, porque depois no mercado se vai refletir, de que forma é que isto não pode levar a algo que aconteceu em Portugal durante o ano que passou, que foi haver uma opção de muitos comerciantes se organizarem para deixarem de utilizar este meio de pagamento. Porque nós concordamos com algo que disse aqui, naturalmente nenhum de nós deseja economia paralela. Todos nós entendemos que deve encontrar-se um paradigma de organização que combata a fraude e a evasão fiscal. E sabemos que o meio informal de pagamento é um meio privilegiado para essa economia paralela. E, portanto, se pudermos evitar a chamada capilaridade fiscal, estamos todos a prestar um bom serviço público, porque se todos pagarmos, todos pagamos menos sob a forma de impostos. Mas entendemos que isto também tem que partir de todos os agentes económicos, de forma a assegurar que a formação de preços seja mais clara, a relação entre os intervenientes na formação de preços seja também ela mais transparente, para assegurar que todos os mecanismos de regulação, de interpretação do funcionamento do mercado, seja também ele próprio mais completo, e ao ser mais completo, se calhar não conduzir a interpretações erradas ou certas, só o tempo e a explicação dos intervenientes o dirão, mas de forma a assegurar que tudo aquilo que diga respeito ao mercado interno, neste caso a nível europeu, e à formação dos seus preços, seja clara para todos os intervenientes. Algo que se calhar nem sempre aconteceu, e o facto de hoje em dia termos intervenientes que atuam em Portugal, mas daqui a 5 minutos podem estar também a fazer transações em Espanha, em França, na Letónia ou em qualquer outro país da União Europeia, leva a que a disparidade de taxas não seja perceptível ao comum dos mortais. E daí estas dúvidas que nos assaltam e o porquê de este tipo de iniciativas, se calhar e em teoria, fazerem sentido, e para nós ser muito importante ter a informação completa também do vosso lado. Muito obrigado.
if you don't mind, I would like to explain how we work, because I think that before taking any decision is important to know how our business model works, because here we are talking about interchange fee, and maybe you don't know what is interchange fee. So let's start from scratch, and let's assume that today I'm here just to explain you what is the interchange fee. And basically, sorry, I'm trying to use a scheme, and which is I believe which is the easiest way to explain. Okay, which is I think that is the best. Okay, which I believe is the only way to give you an answer, but also to give you an answer. So here the business model of MasterCard and Visa is called four-party models. If you want to sit here, don't worry. Okay. So here you have four parties. One is the consumer, one is the merchant, one is the bank of the merchant, and one is the bank of the consumers. So you as a consumer, you go to IKEA, for instance, and you buy for 100 euros, okay? You will see less 100 euros in your banking account, okay? This transaction is processed by your bank, the bank of the merchant. The bank of the merchant for this transaction, because it's providing a service to a merchant, so the merchant is getting value, especially think about e-commerce. This is a value that the merchant is having from this transaction, pays a fee, which in technical term is called merchant service charge or merchant fee. Okay, let's assume that this fee is 2%. Okay, so it means that for this transaction, the merchant paid 2 euros, and then the merchant see in the banking account 98 euros. This 2% is the merchant service charge, so these 2 euros, and the merchant service charge is the interchange fee plus another percentage. Okay, so now these 2%, these 2 euros, are used by this bank to cover some cost, providing the terminals, to provide software for anti-money laundering, providing software for anything management, the banking account, and so on. So let's assume that we have this bar of cost. Then we continue. Then this bank pay what is called the interchange fee. The interchange fee to this bank, and basically is a transfer from the merchant, so to this bank. Why they are transferring this money? Why the merchant is paying the interchange fee? And let's assume the interchange fee is 1%. Okay. So why? Because the merchant pays part of the cost of the consumers. Because this bank, the bank of the consumers, has cost to manage your card, to manage your account, especially if you look at the credit card. You make a transaction the first of the month and you pay at the end, at the next month. So it means that the bank is lending you money for one month. So this bank of the consumer has, let's assume, this bar of this cost, of the cost, which usually is double of the bank of the merchant. These costs are paid half, let's assume half, by the consumer with the annual fee, and the other half is paid through the interchange fee. The system is in balance. Everybody, which means merchant and consumers, both participate in the system, both pay for the advantages of value of the transactions. What the commission wants to do is to reduce the interchange fee. Okay, this is the proposal. Reducing the interchange fee, let's assume that we reduce just of 50% what happened in Spain. So the interchange fee is now 0.50%, Okay, this means that here we don't have anymore 1% and 1%, but we have 0.5% and 1%. Okay, so means that this bank is not gaining any more 2 euros, but 1.5 euros. Okay, this means that there is less transfer of money from the bank of the merchant, because the merchant wants pay less the service to the bank of the consumer, which means that the 50% is still paid by your annual fee, but the remaining part is not paying anymore by the interchange fee, but just half. So who pays the remaining part? The consumers. And this is what happened in Spain, where the government obliged to reduce of 50% the interchange fee. And we have seen from the data of Bank of Spain that the cost of cards has increased. So going back to your question, why we are seeing an increase of cash? Because if you increase the cost of your annual fee, which could happen with a reduction of interchange fee, you might think to use less your cards, or to have less card in your pocket, in your wallet, because the cost of cards is increased. So why I must have 2 or 3 cards, or just 1 card? Let's think about the poorest people that maybe can afford to have just 1 card. If this will happen, those people that cannot afford to have just more than one card will be sort of obliged for their payment to use cash, or basically to use just transfer through their banking account. So this is why we believe that a reduction of interchange fee can have an increase of the cost of cards, so negatively impact the consumer, an increase of cash transactions, and the only stakeholders that is getting advantages from this reduction are merchants. Big, or in particular big, and less the small merchant, because they have less power to negotiate the merchant service charge with the acquiring bank. Another important thing in this circle, and in relation to the legislation, which I believe, or we believe, that is quite absurd, the legislation regulate just the third party scheme, MasterCard and Visa. Does not regulate what they are called the three-party scheme, which are American Express, PayPal, or Diners. They are called three-party because they are a bank. We are a service provider. We are an ICT company. So we connect those banks. We don't provide any kind of service. They are American Express. They are a unique body here, where they are issuer and acquirer at the same time. And they have an hidden interchange fee here, which for the European Commission has been difficult to regulate, to understand what there is within the company. So the Commission decided, because they don't know how to regulate this, they decided to not regulate. Very, very easy. I don't know how to regulate, I don't regulate. Which I believe that is quite absurd, because you can regulate this payment industry just for some provider, but not for an overall provider. So there is a distortion of competition. And this is something that is within the legislation. If you read the legislation affects only MasterCard and Visa, not PayPal, American Express, which at the end, in relation to what you said, at the end, American Express is the most expensive credit card system for consumer and merchant compared to Visa and MasterCard. So I don't know if now is more clear in relation to your question, how and why we believe that the cost of cards will increase, and why the flow of cash in the system will increase, because this reduction will affect heavily consumers, so that will be obliged to use less their card. Is like if the cost of bread will increase, probably you will eat less bread. This is a metaphor, I understand, but that is is the same, could happen the same if this proposal will go ahead in this way. Going back to your question, instead of why we need different interchange fee in each country, we believe that each market has a different structure and different development. So for instance, in Portugal, the debit card system Multibanco is very well developed. The interchange fee is high compared to other debit scheme in other country, but because Multibanco provide you a lot of service. So to keep innovation, to keep the security, to keep everything in place, the system needs an higher interchange fee. In the UK, for instance, where the payment industry is very well developed, there is an higher interchange fee. In other countries, there is a lower interchange fee because the system is not well developed, is growing, and in relation to the growth of the payment industry, the interchange fee is increasing in relation to the size of the market. So this is why we believe that instead of having caps across Europe, it's better to have a national authorities, for instance the Bank of Portugal or the competition authority, that decide the right interchange fee for the market. And in relation to the structure of the market, because they know the market, they can assess the market, they can study the market, they can decide which is the most appropriate interchange fee to set in each country. And we believe that this regulation is what is called more at the European level, is called price regulation. And you know that when you put price in a law, is because you have in front of you a monopoly or oligopoly. So there are only two or one company that provide this service. So if you don't want to have the price very high, usually the legislator set the price. In this case, you have more than one operators, multiple operators, online, offline, credit card scheme, for three-party model. So why the commission is using price regulation for regulate something that is not an oligopoly, is not a monopoly, but is a very competitive market? We believe that setting cap and setting price will create less flexibility in the market. And knowing that this market is growing really fast, because lots of payment will be done electronically in the future, setting a very unflexible framework will not help innovation. I don't know if I've answered all your questions.
I don't know if you answer all the questions. If you want to complete any more with any more information, if you have any kind of document that you want to send us after. Se bem que, voltando agora mais formalmente à reunião, queria deixar-lhe sobretudo o agradecimento, porque para nós, como disse, tem sido algo que nos tem envolvido do ponto de vista da busca de informação, de procura de maior conhecimento, sobretudo daquilo que é a relação entre os diferentes agentes neste mercado. Como disse, uma das nossas principais preocupações tem a ver com a informação completa sobre, por um lado, as responsabilidades, por outro, os serviços que são apresentados aos diferentes intervenientes, seja os comerciantes, seja o consumidor final. E se é certo que as interchange fees podem, em teoria, regular patamares diferentes de tecnologia e de serviços, Também é verdade que para o consumidor final e para o comerciante, que muitas das vezes cria problemas pelo facto de as encarar como demasiado altas, a informação completa é fundamental para que todos nós, que do lado da defesa do interesse público entendemos e devemos acautelar tudo aquilo que seja o normal funcionamento e a regulação eficaz do mercado, para nós é fundamental ter a consciência, a informação e o reconhecimento, tudo aquilo que leva às opções que a cada momento os agentes de mercado têm sobre aquilo que é o seu setor e aquilo que é a sua atividade. E invariavelmente aquilo que sentimos é que esta é das áreas onde alguma informação carece ainda de ser complementada para ficar mais claro aos olhos de quem tem a responsabilidade de legislar, seja a nível nacional, seja a nível comunitário, para que a defesa do consumidor seja realmente efetivada e que fiquemos com essa consciência que assim é. Porque, como disse há pouco, a última coisa que desejamos é contribuir com legislação que conduza à informalidade da atividade económica e à economia paralela. E se todos nós contribuirmos para esse facto, penso que estamos todos nós a contribuir para uma economia com maior índice potencial de crescimento e menos com distorções de concorrência, porque também não queremos que aconteçam. Mas deixar apenas também a nota de que, pelo menos em teoria, também nos parece muito importante que, em simultâneo com estas iniciativas europeias que estão a ser debatidas e que, portanto, é importante que sejam percepcionadas por todos os agentes e por todas as sociedades, que em simultâneo também estão a ser debatidas soluções em relação, lá está, à questão das comissões bancárias, que já não dizem respeito às interchange fees, dizem respeito aí sim às comissões que os bancos têm com os seus clientes, seja o seu cliente particular, seja o comerciante em si. E se tudo for harmonizável, e o harmonizado não significa que no limite tenham que todas as taxas serem iguais, mas se houver uma harmonização de procedimentos, uma harmonização de informação e uma harmonização de relação entre os diferentes agentes, pensamos nós que aí sim estamos a defender melhor o interesse público. E, portanto, cumpre-nos necessariamente agora e mais formalmente agradecer a vossa disposição de forma proativa acrescentar informação, porque certamente, como noutros fóruns já tiveram ocasião de o fazer, neste também nos ajudam a perceber melhor e a complementar melhor um processo que é delicado, envolve um conjunto alargado de agentes de mercado, ao fim e ao cabo envolve cada cidadão que a cada momento tem uma relação comercial com alguém, mas uma vez que estamos num espaço cada vez mais global, a percepção de que nem sempre a mesma transação tem o mesmo custo acaba por não ser a forma mais eficaz de, aos olhos de quem suporta esse custo, perceber o porquê. E o perceber o porquê é necessariamente o centro de toda a discussão, e se calhar foi por isso que foi o centro também desta ação e desta iniciativa comunitária. Portanto, para nós é muito importante também perceber com estas informações um conjunto mais alargado de outras preocupações, e portanto muito obrigado pela vossa presença. Thank you very much.
So thank you very much again, even from my side. Really, the last thing that I believe that is important is that here we are talking about the cost of electronic payments, but sometimes we missed, or maybe we don't think that the cost of cash. The cost of cash, I mean, more than 90%, 90%, 90% of the transactions are done by cash. And each of us, even though we don't see this payment, this cost in our wallet or in our banking account, but the cost of cash is around 130 euros per year of all of us that we pay to transport cash, to print cash, and so on. So it's a hidden cost that we don't see, but everybody is paying. And is much higher, one transaction made by cash is higher in terms of cost than a transaction made by cards. So again, when you develop your opinion, don't forget also this, that we are going to we would like to have a more electronic payment, I mean, countries and market, because it is a benefit from everybody. Thank you. The idea, we have a position paper which comments, we have assessed the content of the legislation and comments the legislation. So Anna will send you this document.
For all the parliamentary groups.
Fantastic. Thank you very much again for your time. Thank you.